on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sports Cast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sports Cast.
Welcome to the Sports Cast, August 4th, 2025. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X and Instagram at the SportsCast1 and check out our app, the SportsCast for iOS. Today we have a special show and a special guest. We got Stuart Jenkins from Blumaka. He is a innovator when it comes to insoles and footwear. He's worked in the shoe industry for a long time. And Stuart, welcome to the SportsCast.
Hey, it's nice to be here, Santiago. I guess the nice way of saying it, I've worked in the footwear industry for a long time. That's a gentle way of saying I'm old. Is that what you're doing to me?
No, a lot of experience.
Same thing, but okay, nice try.
So, Stuart, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been in the footwear business quite a while. I started out as a runner. My passion early on was marathon running. I wasn't big enough for football. I grew up in central Nebraska. And, of course, in Nebraska, you know, there's only two seasons, a football season and spring practice. And being about a 130-pound guy, that wasn't going to work out well for me. So I went to distance running and noticed that shoes were pretty – frankly, crappy. And so I would just go into my mother's kitchen and grab a butcher knife and start hacking away on them. If they weren't ventilated enough, I'd punch holes in them. If they're too stiff, I'd cut them. You know, I'd cut the sole of them. Or if the Achilles tab irritated me, I'd just cut it off with scissors. And I found out that, hey, you could make products better. And that turned into a hobby, turned into a passion, which turned into a career. And here I am, 48 years later, still playing with shoes.
Yeah, tell us which shoe companies did you work in the past?
Well, I've really been an outsider. So I have really made a career primarily by bringing new technologies to shoe companies. So when I was 18 years old, I started working on an air shoe, and we ended up licensing that to Reebok. It became Energair. Where we moved air from one part of it. You kind of see it right over my head. You move air from one part of a shoe to another, became the number one best-selling walking shoe in America. We sold, I don't know, tens of millions of pairs. They kind of morphed it into the DMX technology. Worked with a group that we licensed Tuned Air to Nike, which was a stabilizing system for their airbag. We sold that same technology to the Pentagon for blast mitigation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Pioneered carbon fiber and footwear back in the late 80s, early 90s. Sold the first carbon, I think, that Nike ever put in a shoe. Tinker Hatfield put the carbon fiber in the Air Jordan 11. Sold carbon fiber to FootJoy for stabilizing system in golf, Mizuno, Reebok's Graphlite system. Then I went to work for a shoe company, Deckers, which owned the UGG brand, and found a little brand out of France called Hoka. They had sold about 800 shoes in the United States of America and really spearheaded bringing Hoka to Deckers, which really funded the growth. They first invested in Hoka, and then we partnered with them, if you will, and then we acquired them. And so really was early on in pioneering oversized footwear.
That's incredible.
And now it's Blue Maca.
Blue Maca. Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about that name? What's the meaning behind it?
Well, because we the footwear industry throws away a lot of trash. I mean, can you see the shoe shape in here?
Yep.
So they make a shoe and they throw this away. But there's nothing wrong with this foam, or they make heel pads and they throw all of this away. And so we're using recycled foam as the primary ingredient in our product. And so the blue goes stands for you know, blue sky, blue water. And maca is the Native American word in Nebraska for earth. So the word means blue earth, and maca in Hawaiian and Native Hawaiian is beloved one. So it's blue beloved one. So it really indicates, you know, trying to make great products, but thinking about the planet.
That's interesting. What a name. So what got you working with all these big shoe companies to start Blue Maca?
Well, you know, Blue Maca, just one thing leads to another. If you're an innovator, it's kind of like being an alcoholic. You can't quit. And, you know, when you see something that you think can be improved, whether you go grab mama's butcher knife and cut your shoes to make them more flexible, or you go out behind shoe factories in Asia and you see piles of this foam that are bigger than the factory. You go, well, you know, that's a hell of a problem, or that's terrible. Or you say, hey, I wonder if there's something we can do with that. You know, on the ranch, you know, when you cleaned out the barn, you had a bunch of manure, but if you put it on the field, it was fertilizer. And, this is a bunch of trash until you reuse it and put it in an insole or something like this. And what we found is we can make an insole that provides cushioning that lasts 1,000 miles. And that's not puffery. I mean, I've tested this to 1,475 miles. So we're using this world-class foam that other people are throwing away. I mean, this is the foam they're using to make some of the best running shoes in the world. And we grab it and we chop it up. You can kind of see how can you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I got to go that way. And you see how it's just little particles.
Right.
And then when we make a product, you can see it in the insole, right?
Right.
Or if we make a slide.
Nice.
And the beauty of that foam is that it's really durable and it's really long lasting. And then when we put it back together, we use another foam, if you will, to glue it back together, sort of like we're making Rice Krispie treats. This is the Rice Krispie. It doesn't need to be cooked. It doesn't need to be blown. It's already perfect. And then we got to stick them back together with a little sugar. And we put the magic Blue Maca magic foam that sticks them back together so they don't fall apart. And when you do that and you encapsulate that piece of foam that everybody else was going to throw out, our durability is off the charts. I mean, most insoles, I would say a insole in a football cleat or a baseball cleat or a running shoe that you buy in the store, the best are not going to last more than 20 or 25 miles.
Wow.
We've tested insoles from expensive running shoes that went flat in 4 miles. So, you know, why don't you just go down? I'm sure you're a fancy guy and you buy a Land Rover or a Mercedes or something, or a Ferrari. And wouldn't you love to buy that Ferrari and hop in and find out they've decided to put a wood bench in there instead of bucket seats with leather? Essentially, that's what we're doing in the footwear industry, is they make this beautiful shoe. Everything is focused on the outside of this shoe. It's got that logo that attracts you. They tell you about performance. And then they put this insole in there that probably costs them, I don't know, 50 cents, 75 cents. And that's what your foot sits on. And it goes flat almost immediately. I was talking to, in baseball, you know, Mike Yastrzemski plays for the Royals now.
Yeah.
Baseball player. And He said, yeah. He said, Stuart, you've got a big problem. He said, I normally go through 3 to 4 pair of insoles a season in my cleats because I tear them apart. I'm putting so much pressure with my big toe, tear them apart. And he said, I've worn your insoles for 2 years. He said, nobody's going to buy a second pair. So it's what's ironic is that we're taking what everybody's calling trash and we're making insoles that provide more cushioning, more energy return, and 1,000 miles of cushioning guaranteed. We're using their trash to do that, and they can't even do that in their brand new product.
Unbelievable. You know, that's something.
A true story. Sue me, I will win.
It's interesting how, like you were saying, like I always wonder about these shoes. It's like, how long does it last? Like the durability. And when you told me about 25 miles, that's believable, to be honest, because I know my sneakers run out really fast.
Well, even
and they're expensive.
Oh yeah. Well, normally the cushioning in your running shoes, I will tell you that I don't think they last more than 150 to 250 miles.
Wow.
The brands will tell you it's 500, but the testing I've done doesn't show that. Now foam is getting better, but still, right. I wish I was at my Olympic trial marathon running weight, but you know, I happen to be 30 pounds heavier than that now, at least. And so I got to believe my shoes are wearing out faster now than they are then.
Yeah.
But the insoles particularly are, I mean, it's really, footwear manufacturing malpractice to see the insoles that are placed in these shoes. Just pull them out. And, if they aren't comfortable, just throw in 2 or 3 pieces of tissue paper and walk around that in that for a half hour. It'll be the same.
You know something, Stuart? I am a fan of the sneaker history. I actually watched a few of documentaries or videos on YouTube about Tinker Hatfield and design. Oh, yeah. Also, there's been some movies. I'm not sure if you watched the Michael Jordan one with Nike about how he signed with Nike.
Yeah, Air Jordan.
Air Jordan, something like that. So I'm very familiar with this stuff, and you're shedding a whole new view from this situation.
I didn't know him well because he was hard to know, but I worked with Peter Moore.
Yes, I know him.
And I actually played golf with Peter several times. And, that guy was supremely talented. First of all, you think of the logos created. He created the Jumpman logo. He created the triangle logo for Nike. Or for Adidas, and he created the shark logo for Reebok for the shark golf shoes, which is one of those three logos are fantastic. He told me a very funny story. You probably don't have time, but when there was a big argument inside Nike about whether to use the word mark Nike or the swoosh as the preeminent logo. And he told me a funny story, but that guy was a
go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Boy, how do you tell this quickly? Well, the story he told me was that there was this big argument inside Nike about whether to use the word mark or the brand mark, the swoosh. And apparently Phil Knight wanted to use the word mark, and Strasser and Peter Moore wanted to use the brand mark. And they got in this big tussle. And so the next day, Peter brought Phil into this room, and on one side of this big screen, he had the word mark. On the other side, he had the brand mark. And Phil walked in and said, "See, it's the word mark." And Peter said, "Look closely," because the word was not Nike. It was another word that starts with F and ends with K. And it was just...
Oh my gosh, that's a good story.
And his point was that the brand mark was unmistakable while the word mark could be manipulated. And I don't know how he did that with lines and stuff, but it, you know, it had that. And so that,
yeah,
that was a story he told me. And
that's quite something, because you don't hear much about Peter Moore. Like, he's known for that first Jordan shoe, pretty much, but everyone talks about Tinker, but no one talks about Peter Moore much.
Well, that movie did not do Peter Moore any favors. Peter Moore was not a introverted nerd
who could
not communicate. He was
in the basement.
No, I mean, that guy graduated from Stanford. He was a smart guy. He was not warm and fuzzy. He was not out there. But let me tell you, Peter Moore, the work he did at Nike was set the foundation. And Tinker Hatfield is Tinker Hatfield. But let me tell you, Peter Moore was not a skateboard riding nerd that couldn't talk to anybody, and his ability to communicate a vision with imagery was phenomenal. I think Peter was responsible. You remember the old posters at Nike that were just iconic, where they had Gaylord Perry in a rocking chair, and down at the bottom it had his pitching statistics on what looks like a Vaseline jar. I think I was the first college intern at Nike, or at least they didn't know how to handle one, back in 83, and I got to spend some time with a few of those guys. But the movie didn't do Strasser any favors either. Strasser was an absolute driving force.
The marketing was amazing from him.
And of course, you know, Sonny Vaccaro did not go down and negotiate it. They were already paying royalties to athletes. I mean, that movie it was a great movie, but it didn't have much to do with reality. But Rob Strasser, man, that guy was a force of nature. And for me, he was one of the kinder. I mean, I don't think he'd want to be, you know, he could probably chew your butt off, but he was very kind to me, and he had no reason to be kind to me.
Awesome. Now, what happened? Like, I was reading some, I was doing some digging with the history. I know that after Jordan's first contract, him and Peter Moore, Strasser and Peter Moore, left Nike to get Jordan to start their own shoe company. Do you know anything about that? Or
I don't. I know that, you know, they Peter and Rob were close colleagues, and I don't know that anybody knows what Phil Knight and Rob Strasser's falling out was over. That's unclear to me. I mean, you know, Rob had a pretty big ego, and it might have been getting out of hand. I don't know. But when they left, I do believe that their intention was to spin out they thought their relationship with Michael Jordan would result in spinning the Jordan brand out into its own entity, and which was a pretty good idea, because you can see what a force the Air Jordan brand has become within Nike. And they were unable to do that. And of course, that's when Adidas was, you know, basically going through the ringer, just absolutely, completely, and totally lost. And they went in, when they didn't get that Jordan deal done, they got a deal. They essentially took over Adidas. It was called Adidas America, but they created the equipment line. They created the triangle logo. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, Peter was like, well, you can't put three stripes on a shirt. You know, how are you going to do it? And he created that equipment line, which, you talk about a design language that saved a brand. It was the equipment line that those guys came up with. And they did that in very short order and reestablished. I mean, I'm not sure who saved Adidas, but if anybody saved Adidas, it was Rob Strasser and Peter Moore.
I've heard that story. I did hear that story once. They left Nike, did their little independent thing, didn't work out, went to Adidas, they saved it. And I think Strasser kind of he passed away shortly after he joined Adidas, I believe.
Well, Yeah, Rob Strasser lived hard and he played hard.
Yeah,
and I don't, again, I don't know the details there, but those, you know, look, I'm a, you know, I was a runner and all that, but there was a hard partying culture in the late 70s and early 80s of Nike, and I'm not sure that story has ever been told. I have a friend though that they were at one of their butt face meetings and somebody bet him $1 that he wouldn't drive the rental car into the swimming pool out in out at their butt face meeting in, what is it, Sun River, Oregon, and he drove it right into the swimming pool. He said he couldn't rent from, whether it was Hertz or David, says he's never been able to rent from them since. But he won the dollar, damn it.
Oh my gosh, quite something. All right, so back to Blomaka. So with the insoles, can that fit with any sneaker or like any shoe? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. You just take out the insole that's in there, and you replace you pull the insole that's in there out, and you replace it with a Blomaka insole, whether it's our non-slip or our, you know, one with fabric cover. We have two different thicknesses. If you're in cleats or soccer cleats or something like that with a low volume shoe, we have a low profile or a thin version of our insole. And then we have the version that's the max cushion. But for athletics, you know, this is pretty exciting for us. We've created this technology, which is called non-slip. So if you think of a normal insole that comes in a shoe, you know, you can your sock slides on it, right?
Yeah.
With this non-slip technology, my sock does not slide on this.
Wow.
And what that does is that we had it really got picked up by Major League Baseball players, and then a professional franchise did a 200 athlete test, 200 pro athletes. And they found with this non-slip technology that 80% of their athletes started faster and stopped faster. 80% were more stable from the knee to the ground. And an incredible 90% ran faster. And if you think about that, think about when you were speeding as a young man, speeding across the gym floor in your stocking feet. You didn't go anywhere, right? No. But here, because your socks are slipping on the floor, right? But here, when I put pressure on this, my sock and my insole are locked together. Good. But if you take a normal insole that just has a fabric top cover, you will slide about 1/4 inch every time you take a step. Well, you slide 1/4 inch backwards every time you take a step. That's 13 yards per mile.
Wow.
Or if you're trying to jump in basketball, you stop. So, you know, here's a normal insole. If I'm going to jump, what do I have to do? I have to plant and stop. Before right. I can jump up, I have to stop. So you plant and your foot slides. Can mm-hmm. you see that, or is that the wrong color? Here, let's do this color. I mean, I'll just do it here where
it's a good color.
It slides.
Yeah.
Here?
Doesn't.
Think of Zion Williamson. Why did he slide out of the sides of his shoes? If he were centered on those shoes and if his foot was locked in, would his foot have slid over to the side of the shoe and out?
Nope.
But because he was sliding around, he started to go sideways. Oh boy. He started to go sideways.
Wow.
And went right over the edge.
So this could prevent injuries for sure.
Well, because 80% of the athletes are more stable from the knee to the ground, anytime you're more stable, you're less prone to injury because you're operating inside your biomechanical window more frequently.
Wow.
You don't tear your anterior cruciate ligament because it moves an inch too far. It moves a millimeter or a half a millimeter too far. So stability is critical to staying, reducing the risk of injury. Or in women, they make shoes out of men's lasts. You know, the shape of the shoes made around a last. And when you do that, the front of the women's soccer shoe, for example, is narrower because a woman's foot is wider in the ball of the foot and narrower in the heel, shaped like a V.
Right.
A man's foot is narrower in the ball of the foot and wider in the heel. Wow. So when they make those soccer cleats, a woman's foot will be pinned at the forefoot and their heel will move back and forth.
Right.
So with this technology, their heel is centered, so they're not sliding back and forth. Wow. And we think that's particularly important for women. But I say increased motion. Where is increased motion between your knee and the ground helpful to athletic performance? Nowhere. Wow. Where is slipping helpful to performance? Slipping, whether it's the outside of your shoe or inside your shoe, slipping will not help you run faster, stop faster, cut faster, turn faster, jump higher, hit harder. Nothing. Nothing good happens when you're slipping inside your shoe, which is why we created this non-slip technology. Now, we sell insoles that are conventional, that have a fabric top cover, because like runners may just want arch support and 1,000 miles of cushioning. They want to take their running shoes, and instead of them lasting 150 to 200 miles, they want them to last 200 miles to 300 miles. And they don't want to get beat up. But the, you know, over the last 90 days, we've had 10 NFL teams buy our non-slip insoles. And then we created this new insole for turf toe. Wow. So you've heard of turf toe.
Absolutely. Right?
So what happens with turf toe? You take your big toe and you just bend it back way too far, right?
Right.
And it's very painful. And so what's the solution now? They put a stiff plate in their shoe. Well, you tell me how you can run in this plate.
That'd be annoying.
So we created a carbon fiber technology with our friends up at Carbitex. You can see the plate in the inside. So we put it inside. So do you want this thing floating around in your shoe to slide around on? Or do you want something attached?
I want something attached.
You see this line here?
Yeah.
Because when you have a plate, you still want to have medial lateral dexterity, right?
Right.
Now, how do you think you move medial lateral with a stiff plate in your shoe? If you put force on the inside of that plate, it's going to push you, right?
Yeah.
So this allows some bend, but here's the magic. You can't run in this. You can run full speed in our, this is called the non-slip carbon elite. But here's the magic. If I'm running and I can easily push this down, right?
Right.
But when I get it to here,
wow,
it stops.
Yeah.
So I can run, but I can't over-rotate that MPT joint. Here.
Oof.
So this bends down easily. I just had one NFL team ordered 104 pair of these. Another team just ordered 70 of these.
They're coming. They're coming for more. More teams are coming.
Well, I would think, honestly, it's been surprising me that all of the teams haven't got it because this is stupid.
I know. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Or, you know, or they got stainless steel plates. Wow. And so, you know, we've got this plate that's easy to bend this way. But gets here, it's done. And look, what does this look like? If you're a track guy, how do I show this? If you're a track guy, what shape is that? It's the shape of a starting block.
Right.
So you're carrying a starting block so your toes don't keep bending up, and now you've got something to push off of. Now, I know people are claiming they're making insoles that help you jump over gold posts, although they have no data that they can prove it. And, you know, you
fine.
Can, you can spring it over a gold post, but proof. Well, at least the proof doesn't tie out to the reports they have on their website. But, you know, the NFL and Major League athletes aren't buying our product because Blumaka is a household name, right?
Right.
They're buying it because it performs better. It, this carbon elite technology, which helps prevent turf toe or helps you recover. We just had our friend Brendan Donovan, who's a second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. He had turf toe, and he wrote us. He wrote me a note. They thought they were going to have him out, you know, for the, what is it, the 10 day or whatever. And he missed four games, had our insole in and recovered and was, as he puts it, completely cured of turf toe within 3 weeks. And now he's back wearing the non-slip insole. But the non-slip characteristic where you're not sliding around on here and the turf and the plate together help you. We got a couple football guys have talked about putting it on linemen as a preventative, just like knee braces. I mean, I don't know. My message to a football coach is, do you really want to lose another game because your star player was out with turf toe? I mean, I'm not saying turf toe is preventable, but if you have it, the athlete is going to be able to wear it. One of the reasons athletes aren't recovering from turf toe is nobody wants to wear this arcane piece of,
you know, I mean, what?
Why don't you just nail a 2x4 to their shoe? I
mean, Stuart, this is very innovative. Very innovative. I'm really surprised of the situation. Now you brought in a solution. NFL teams are coming in. What is the best place, or where can people purchase this?
Blumaka.com, BLU. So it's BLU, not BLUE. BLUMAKA. Blumaka.com. And, you know, for teams, they can contact us. We have a team discount where teams can call us. We give them a code. In fact, I noticed over the weekend that one NFL team just ordered another, I think it was 8 pair of carbon fiber using their special code, and they get a team discount. And we can set that up for colleges. We can set that up for high schools or whomever. And that way the trainers, they can place an order. You know, somebody gets hurt on Sunday night, they can place the order at midnight at Sunday night when it's in, you know, Timbuktu or Cleveland or wherever. And, or they can just call us and place an order. But, we had one team ordered, last Wednesday. I walked in on Thursday morning and they said, hey, can you get these to our training camp, by tomorrow? So I had to overnight them to their training camp. And they kind of bought a half, they bought a 68 pair, and they bought half carbon fiber and half just the conventional non-slip. You know, and I'm not saying everybody should wear carbon fiber all the time, but I'm telling you, it should be in your arsenal.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Storage Jenkins with Blumaka at blumaka.com. Go to the website, purchase it, check it out. If you know anyone, a team or a coach, hey, talk about Blumaka. This could prevent a lot of injuries. It's a good solution and things like that. Stuart, do you have anything else in the future planned? Any new technology that you want to preview? Or, hey, you're sticking with Blumaka.
Well, no, I think, you know, Blumaka is our thing. It's about how you apply this. I think I'm not sure your performance customers care, but one of the things you should know is, look, I love footwear, right? I mean, that's apparent, right? I've spent my whole career in this. But I'm part of the problem because this foam that we make our running shoes out of and our athletic shoes, the foam that makes the shoes that we love so much, are generating a lot of trash. In fact, there's enough of this trash that the athletic footwear industry generates every single year to make $5 billion insoles.
Incredible.
And the fact that we can make insoles that are better than all of the insoles that are made from this virgin foam, you know, I just think that that's an important thing too. You know, I want to make great product, but I also think you ought to make great product the right way. And when you've got this kind of a resource, the only thing that's lacking in making sure that we don't just throw this out. By the way, how do they throw it away? They burn it or bury it.
Wow.
It is the foam is the number one environmental problem of the footwear industry.
Interesting.
And so we're proud to make world-class product from what everybody else has seen as trash. So I think that that's important. You will not find an insole that provides more cushioning that lasts longer than Blue Maca. We have, you know, low, medium, and high arch support. If you got plantar fasciitis or whatever, we have products for that. We have the non-slip. So what I like about Blue Maca is that we're making world-class product, but we're making it from what everybody else thought was just a pollution problem. And this shows you that, you know, there are answers out there. I mean, the NFL isn't buying this because it's 85% recycled, right? Mm-hmm. They're buying it because it helps them perform better. They're running faster. They're safer. Wow.
Correct. That's huge.
That's pretty cool.
No, that's pretty cool. I think this is good technology. I think the thing that gets me is like the injury, like to just prevent injuries. That's huge. And also, like you were saying, performance as well. Store, what's the best way for people to reach you online? Do you have an X account or Instagram or?
You know, I'm not that modern. Mostly LinkedIn is where you can find me, through the Blue Maca website. Somebody can always contact me there through customer service. Just come and ask for the guy that was crazy enough to start this thing, I guess.
There you have it. Store Jenkins with Blue Maca.com. Visit, check it out and see what you can do to help out in your like athletic experience in your team or for yourself at the gym. Helps you out when you run that treadmill. It can help you.
Well, we need to get you a pair. Do you have a pair yet?
I don't have a pair, but I'd love to have
one. Who's the cheap guy at this company? I mean, you need to get a pair. We'll talk about this offline.
Absolutely.
And then I want you to come back and I want you to give a report. You know,
we'll do
a review. Unbiased report. Just say, hey, that guy was.
He was right.
He was right or he's crazy. But I don't think you'll. I mean, here's a funny story. You want a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We have this 1,000-mile guarantee, 1,000 miles of cushioning. And, of course, everybody is used to puffery and, you know, it's not really real. We just say things and, right? Mm-hmm. And that drives me crazy. So we have this guarantee. A guy bought a pair of our insoles at a Snail's Pace, which is one of the top-running stores in Southern California. And he sent them back to me. He says, hey, Stuart, you've got this 1,000-mile guarantee. I'm a 265-pound marathon runner. That's not a little waif. That's a full-grown man, you know, Clydesdale division. And he said, I love the insoles. They've been great, but you have this guarantee. I've Strava'd 800 miles on them, and I think they're wearing out. So he circled a couple places where he thought they might be wearing out. So I immediately sent these over to the independent testing lab, Helix, footwear testing lab. See the black dot here?
Yeah.
He tested them right in the middle where this athlete said that they were wearing out. Hmm. We had retained 93% of our cushioning after 800 miles for a 265-pound marathon runner.
Wow.
93%.
Gosh.
So, hey, like I said, our cushioning guarantee, and, you know, of course, the retailer, Snail Space, they loved it because They go, hey, here's a brand that stands behind their guarantees. And, you know, of course, you can imagine what my lawyer said when I was guaranteeing an insole for $1,000. Oh, Stuart, I go, hey, it's true. I'm not afraid of the guarantee. We've tested these to 1,473 miles without losing 15% of their cushioning.
Wow. There you have it. Well, stored. Hankins with Womaka.com. You can reach us here at the Sportscast at thesportscast.net. Also follow us on X at thesportscast1. But wow, what a good show. Catching up with history. The shoewear technology. Stuart, you're the man.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Santiago. And sometime we can come back and just tell footwear stories. But appreciate your support. And let's connect after the show. I want to get you some insoles so you can give your own testimonial. Absolutely. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Absolutely. And this was your update.